You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
And actually, okay, we'll begin with this before we do the announcements. Let's begin with the prayer of the week. Okay, so in CJ's lesson on Sunday, he talked about this prayer, and we've been having prayers put up on our website each week. And so we want to spend a little time in groups of two or three. And we want to pray. Of course, CJ's lesson was about having more than just phileo love, just warm hug friendship, but agape love, which is really all-in commitment and sacrificial type love. So here is the prayer. Lord, teach me how to agape love. Give me the heart to agape love, to see the needs to agape love, to the strength to agape love.
Okay, well, on Sunday, we were looking at agape love. Oh, by the way, speaking of love, it's great to have Zahid and Aaron here with us. So, congratulations, good to have you back. So just a reminder then, so, you know, C.S. Lewis says that the agape love is the highest form of love. Gift love to one another that we are able to offer. So selfless, sacrificial, unconditional, a love that persists no matter the circumstance. So really an amazing concept of love. But what I wanted to talk about tonight, so it's going to be a little bit interactive throughout the course of the lesson, but I wanted to give a little bit of a background first to even kind of the roots to this idea of agape love. So in the Old Testament, of course, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Okay, so we don't get this, that agape love does not feature. And in fact, there is no Hebrew word that is a synonym, exact synonym of agape love. It does not exist. We see two words within the Old Testament that kind of lean towards this idea of agape love in the Greek, in the New Testament. And the first word is tov. Okay, and so we see this word appear all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, we see as God creates the universe and he creates all these things on different days, what does he say at the end of each day? It is good. So it was tov is what he's saying, okay? It's just a general idea of goodness. Then when he gets to day 6, who does he create?
Us.
And instead of saying it was tov, he says, tov me'od, okay? And this means very good, okay? We are not just good, but in God's eyes, we are very good. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
However, both of these words, good and very good, do not do the word tov and tov me'od justice at all. So when God made us, a good kind of translation, really, that makes sense of how God feels about you, about us, tov me'od, is this, total bliss.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Okay, so when he made Richard Thompson and Karima Thompson, he looked at them and said, they bring me wondrous joy.
Amen.
I am filled with total bliss because I have created them, all of us. That's what this word means. Wonderfully delightful. Can you think of any words greater than those to describe how happy you are with what you have made? Whatever it is, that's what God felt when he created us. It's a beautiful word, an amazing term. Marvelously beautiful is another way to put it. You think of the word, that's what it means. And who did he attribute that terminology to? Us. To you. Hold on to that. Because that is how God sees us. That is how he loves you. It is very powerful. Okay, so hold on to that. Then, we also see another word in Hebrew, chesed, which is another amazing word, and this word in some places is translated as attachment. It's steadfast love. It is mercy. It's that covenant love that we see that God had with the Israelites. It is a love that will never fail, never end, constantly pursues no matter where. So if we think about the love even in, of the prodigal son in the New Testament, that is this chesed love. It's that long-suffering love that's willing to endure till the very end. That's God's love for us. That was his love for the Israelites. So these beautiful concepts of love, both of them together, they then create this New Testament concept of agape love. So within agape love, we see chesed and we see tov coming together as one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what we have within this, the Greek language, and especially when Jesus is talking about, you know, loving God, loving one another, this is the word that he uses to describe that. This is the love then that we see within the New Testament, so that God has for us. So this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of agape love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God." So it says, so this BSB, by the way, is a fairly new translation. It's called the Berean Standard Bible. It's my new favorite translation. It's awesome. It is amazing. So if you fancy just reading something different, I highly recommend it. But what's amazing about this is it says, listen, can you comprehend basically just how much God loves you because you are his child? You belong to him. And we think about this scripture, Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. "I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." What on earth does that mean? What do you think that means? To know this love that surpasses knowledge. Any ideas? What does that mean? Tracy?
Okay. That means that the love is so strong. It's mm-hmm. so outstanding. It's beyond, you can't even comprehend.
Awesome answer. That's it.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, great answer. That's it. Yeah. That God's love for us is so incredible that is beyond comprehension. We'll never fully be able to grasp just how much he loves us. Those of us who are parents, think about the time when your first child was born. How did you feel holding that baby? I cried because I just couldn't believe this miracle before my eyes. It makes, you know, even just thinking my eldest son will be 21 next month, you know, and I just think back and look to that day. That love is nothing compared to God's love for you. That's how he feels about you every single day. And he just wants us to comprehend that's how much you are loved by him. That's how much he loves you. So that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. So he's saying when we were able to fully comprehend how much we are loved by God, we then get filled with him. And then because we are filled with him, what do you think we are then able to do? Share that same love with other people. So this is so important that we understand that that level of love is very difficult for us to come to by ourselves and on our own, because you cannot give what you don't have. So what I'd like us to do is we're going to have a little exercise right now before we move on to our part of love. Okay, and this week there's been a seminar. I sent it out to a few people, and it's called Attaching to God's Seminar, Embodied Faith. And there was one of the seminars did this activity at the end, and I thought it was so beautiful. I thought we could do it together today. Something very different. We haven't done it before, but I hope that you will find it really useful. So we've all been to an event where nobody knows your name. and you're given a name tag, okay? And you write your name on the name tag. And then you go around and people are, you know, there and say, hey, and they're able to, you know, say your name. And you place it on your chest, you place it over your heart. Now, the problem is that in ordinary day-to-day life, we do walk around with a name tag full of words, feelings, and emotions of who we are based on what we've done that week, that day, based on how other people have treated us, based on how we feel about ourselves, based on the trauma that we carry, and we carry a name that we tell ourselves. And sometimes that name isn't always a very nice name. Sometimes that name is a little bit discouraging. But God has a name for every one of us. And so what I want us to do today is just get in touch with how God sees you. So I'd like you to just take a moment and just kind of center yourself, within the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment to close your eyes, put down your phones, whatever you've got in your hands, and just start by placing a hand on your belly and just take a nice deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And as you breathe out, as if you're blowing out a candle, so a nice long breath. So breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. Breathe in all the way down to your stomach and a nice gentle exhale through your mouth. And then move your hand up to your heart, and you can place two hands over your heart if you wish. And place it where that name tag would go. It's probably right over your heart. And just hold your hands over your heart. And then imagine that God has written a name tag for you. And what might that name tag say? Maybe it would say wonderful. Maybe it would say precious. Maybe it would say delightful, special, cherished, deeply loved, highly favored. Think about what name would God write on that name tag for you, because of how he sees you and how special and precious you are to him. And see if you can just let that name sink deeply into your mind and into your heart. Think and tell yourself that this is what God is saying to me. This is how he sees me. Just continue to breathe. And if you feel any resistance to that name, being able to receive that name, that's okay. There's probably a good reason why it's hard for you to believe that truly is your name. So just notice the resistance, let it be there, but continue to see that name. Take a few more breaths as you continue to receive that name. And now I'd like you to imagine seeing God write that name onto your name tag. as he peels off the backing, and then he places that name tag over your heart. As he's writing down wondrous, delightful, beloved, whatever name came to your mind, imagine him reaching towards your heart. What does his face look like as he places that name tag on your heart? What joy is he expressing as he reminds you of how much you are loved by him? And again, if you feel any resistance, it's okay. Just notice it. You don't have to figure it out right now. Just try to continue to tune in to how he sees you. Begin to savor that name, savoring the posture that God has as he placed that name upon you, the hug he gave you after he placed it on your heart. The emotion, the joy of God as he tells you your name. Once you have your name, you might want to consider throughout tonight, tomorrow, as you drive in your car for your quiet time, just to come back to that name and remind yourself of who you are before the Lord. That you are his wondrous delight. He is ecstatic, ecstatically joyful over you being his daughter, over you being his son, because you are his. You can open your eyes. So I did that yesterday, and I did it in the morning, and it was quite nice. And then later on in the day, I did it again, and I just started to cry. Because the first time was like just an exercise. I thought, oh, this is different, interesting. But then later on, as I owned it for myself, it was really powerful. Because like I said, I think we can tell ourselves things about ourselves. The world around us tells us things, that we are this person, that person. But we forget who God sees us to be, who we are before him. And so in doing that, when we're able to then receive that attachment love, that joyful, blissful, goodness love from God, we can then share that agape love with the world around us. And it's really important that he doesn't, want us to try and share those things if we run on empty. It's very difficult because it means if we're empty, it means we're hurt. And hurt people sometimes hurt people. Okay, and so it's very important that we do our self-work with God so that we can be filled, remember, with him, so that we can then truly give to others. And so as we move today, I think it's really important that we, remember that he is the source of that love. But we do have a responsibility, therefore, now once we've received that love, to share with our community. And to share with those around us. And so this was the scripture from Sunday, just to remind us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. So by obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves from sin, for sincere, genuine love, phileo love, of the brothers, love, agape love, one another earnestly from a pure heart. I didn't want to share this on Sunday, but I remember, coming to church for the first time, I did share that it was very obvious to see the phileo love. That family love was something that I had never, ever seen before. But then once I became a member of the church for a while, and reading the scriptures and learning about loving one another and all these different things, I began to see holes within the church. Can anyone ever relate to that? The love that I thought I saw wasn't necessarily at the depth of love that I thought it was in the beginning. But it's because I had a different idea of what, because the first love that I saw was different. It was phileo love. Does that make sense? That's the thing that's on show, that when people come, not for show, on show, okay? It's the thing that we see most noticeably when you come into the room. And it's beautiful. It's an amazing thing. But then once you start to get to know people, you realize, oh, this is not necessarily the perfect place. But we know it's not, because none of us are perfect. Okay? So we bring our baggage and we bring our trauma. And this is why the Bible says we then have to go deeper.
Yeah.
And I was really convicted. And because I began to see some holes within the church and not necessarily loving in the way that I saw the Bible call us to love, I would begin to flag these things. And I got a bit of a name for myself. But I was doing it because I thought this church was so special and so amazing that I just wanted to help and I wanted to make a difference. And as people came, you know, and I had helped a lot of people become Christians, not all of them stayed, because when they came and they didn't see all of the agape love that they thought, they're like, oh, this is just like somewhere else. But I was like, no, this place is really special. But God's called every one of us for agape love. It's our responsibility. See, if I can't rely on a church strategy to be the only thing to bring about the agape love. If God has placed it on my heart to love in a certain way, then that's my responsibility to be able to love that person in that way. Right. I shouldn't need to be told by the minister to do that.
Right.
I just need to read my Bible, listen to the Holy Spirit, and love. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes we can have this idea and we can point fingers and look, but really we have to look to ourselves and say, what is it that God is calling me? How is he calling me to love? Because I don't want him to be like, well, you saw those things and you did nothing about it.
Right.
You just grumbled and complained. What use is that?
Right.
But if I see it, I can then do something about it.
Amen.
Okay, and I don't have to be told and have to wait. And the church is amazing. It's still amazing.
Yes, it is.
But he's constantly calling us to this depth of love that we all have to take responsibility for. So the question was kind of on Sunday, in what ways do you think, and the prayer hopefully this week, in what ways is God calling us to agape love? So this is now a bit of an interactive session. So please take out your phone if you don't have it already. And I'd like you to join this online poll. And I've got three questions, okay, that we're going to ask and answer. So if you can scan the QR code, if you can't scan the QR code, go to slido.com and then type in that code. Okay? Okay now?
Yes.
Okay. So this first question is, if you are in the older generation, and I'm not going to say what age, you can decide for yourself, okay? I'm keeping it safe. If you think you're in the older generation, what are your needs for agape love? Oh, sorry, this is the youngest first. If you're younger generation, what are your needs for agape love as part of the younger generation? So for me, as a young Christian, I needed to feel like I really belonged to a family. And I had a young... So if you are in the older generation, do not do this one just yet, okay? So yours, you have a question for you. So when I was a young Christian, I wanted to be a part of obviously it was part of a church, but I wanted to have like an older uncle in the faith. Does that make sense? Or an older auntie in the faith. And I was so blessed to have this couple just adopt me into their family.
Amen.
And I'm still so close to them today. I've shared about them in the past. I was needed a place to live for 6 months. They let me live with them. I mentored their sons who were 10 years younger than me. Precious, special family. And that was kind of exactly what I needed. So it's a very real need. And I don't know if I would have lasted if I didn't have that depth of love from them. So we want to know, what do you need? If you're a younger member, what do you need from us? Okay? All right, so we have mentorship is pretty big, accountability, wisdom, family, community, quality time, encouragement, non-applicable. Exa, I'm not sure what that means. Walking with one another, love that. Yep, prayers from others. Friendship, be taken care of, poured into. Okay, last few seconds for this one, and then we'll hand it over to the older generation. Rebukes. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next, to the older generation. So, it's mentorship, community, family, patience, accountability, they're the big ones. Okay, I like that. All right. It will say, but let me take a picture just in case. All right. Okay, if you are part of the older generation, what are your needs for agape love now as part of the older generation? What do you need? So I noticed we had almost 50 people part of the younger generation and about 15 people part of the older generation. I'm just saying. Okay, wisdom, yeah, community, wise friendship, trust, support, being a mentor, love that, connection. Well, that's a great list as well. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, belonging, support, friendships is coming up a lot. Deep-rooted friendships. I know. Okay. I'm going to move on in case someone else puts CJ. All right. Okay, last one. So this is... Obviously, I've encouraged you to just be praying about this week. But in what other ways do you think God is calling you personally, us as a community, to agape love for one another? And the reason I say that, because sometimes we can think to the outside community. But if we're not really loving family as God is really calling us to, again, we can't give what we don't have. And it sometimes can be a quick fix to love outside, but it takes way more devotion to love inside. Okay, so what do you think? How is God calling us? Yeah, to serve, service, hospitality, quality time, yeah. Forgive, encouragement, empathy. Yeah, spending time outside of services. Yeah, very true. It's a good one. Assistance. Emotional support. Yeah, I love that. Prayer walks. Yeah, that's great. All right, I'm going to move on. But thank you so much for that. Now, as you look at this, again, whose responsibilities are all of those? Not CJ's. Yeah, it's ours, it's yours, it's mine, okay? So whatever you put on there that God has placed on your heart, do that one thing. One thing. Think about the difference that one thing that you placed on there, the impact that could have on somebody else. And then, because otherwise it can be really overwhelming if you look at a list like that and think, oh, what is the point? Gosh, we've got so much to do. But you do your one thing. All these little things make a huge difference when we put them all together. You know, I was hanging out with Billy earlier today. And so when I was a teacher in the UK, I used to teach ethics. And we did a happiness project around kind of Thanksgiving time. Well, towards the end, actually it was just building up to Christmas with one of the classes that I would teach. And what they did is there was a happiness foundation within the UK. And they provided these resources for families, churches, schools to run this project. And what they did was they gave you three different types of activities to do over a two-week period. One of them was to do mindful meditation every day for 2 weeks. The second one was to be grateful, write down what you're grateful for every day or who you're grateful for. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, you write a letter to someone to share how grateful you are for that person, okay? The third one was random acts of kindness or thoughtful acts of kindness for family members or people in your neighborhood, whatever it might be. And what they did was they got you to write down how happy you were at the beginning of the 2 weeks and then how happy you were at the end of the 2 weeks. And they wanted you, ideally, if you could do, just choose one of those things so they could have a really clear study. Anyway, after they did that and their research showed that, guess which group were the happiest out of the end of the 3 weeks? Hands up if you think it was the mindful meditation people. The gratitude people. Okay, the acts of kindness people. It was the acts of kindness people who had seen the greatest value added of happiness by the end of the 2 weeks. Because it's agape love. It's the sacrificial love. It's the serving love. It's the self-denial love. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. And so that's the type of love that will bring the most fulfillment to our lives. And the problem is, if we don't lean into that and we see the needs and we just sit back, what do we find ourselves then probably doing? What would we do? Getting negative. Okay? Getting negative, complaining, looking elsewhere. Okay? And people do that, and I'm not judging that. But instead, God says, look to yourself. Look at how much I love you, and then you go and share that love to your brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus said to who at the end of John? He said that to Peter, right? Go and love. Go and love. Go and love. It doesn't matter what's happened. You go and love. That's the difference, you know, that he needed to make within his community. So as we finish today, we're going to have a time of just prayer to think about for a second. I want to bring back to this verse that we looked at on Sunday. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech. So I took some pictures of this. You wrote down some nice words. If that's all it ends, if that's what it ends with, then it's of no use, right? Because he says, don't love just by nice words. Sounding words to one another. Don't just love with the phileo love, but love with actions and with truth. Now, the truth is that list that we came up with, that's what we need as a community. That's the truth. So then he says, right, love with action. You go and do it. So my encouragement is, over the next few days, next week, next month, next year, how can you add agape to our community? Okay? It will make the world of difference. Okay? And so it means that when people, because the Lord is adding to our number, but it means that when they do, and then they are a part of a community, it doesn't then just change because they got baptized, but actually it continues because the agape love takes over. But we all have that responsibility, okay? So what I'd like us to do then, just as we close, any final quick thoughts or comments or questions, and then we'll close with a prayer, just to pray together. Yes, Jordan.
No, I think this is really awesome, just calling us higher, yeah. To really make it personal.
So just going deeper.
Conversations, letting people in. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, thank you. Any other thoughts, comments?
I have a question. What type of practical
ideas or tasks you think we can do in order to have a clearer, more clear picture of what type of action God wants us to do in order to love.
Yeah, so I think back to that, what do you feel like God has called you to? And then owning that one thing and then really carrying that out can make a big difference. But it might be, praying about, and if you're unclear, ask God to show you. If you have a community around you, even just saying, hey, how can you call me? How do you think God is calling me to agape love? And maybe they'll be like, hey, well, why don't you, Carrie shared today about a brother who was asked to help out at the Harvest Festival. And just, he was given one thing, told one thing, and then he suddenly managed to round up like over 10 people to help serve at the Harvest Festival. Amen. Like just jumped all over it. Like she was blown away. She shared it at staff meeting today. So something as small as that, that's agape love. That took him time, sacrifice, stepping outside of his comfort zone because he doesn't know that many people. That's a perfect example, leaning into perhaps what God is already nudging you towards. So I think asking the people around you, how can I serve? What can I do? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a great question.
I think just considering the needs or interests that someone has in their life around us and moving to meet that need or interest of that person.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, very good.
I just want to share something really quickly because his question, recently I had some time with a friend who I haven't seen in a long time, and she very transparently had told me that she felt like I wasn't giving our friendship a priority, which is why we haven't had the time together. And I think a part of agape love is taking it outside of yourself and listening to your friend when they say that to you. So yeah, you can love them, but how you're giving that love needs to be in a receptive manner as well. So like being able to listen, okay, I'm not prioritizing this person, I'm hurt by that, but clearly they are strong enough to tell me that, which is a very vulnerable statement. So how can I then step outside myself to now make those shifts? So I think that's also a part of it as well.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Great. Well, let's finish with prayer and pray this. Pray that God will help us to be able to love in actions and love in truth. And then have a great time of fellowship.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.